All right. Well, thank y'all so much. I'm so excited to be here and have the opportunity to speak with you today at the agency conference. As I look across the room, I see many familiar faces and a lot of new ones. When you look around this room, you see the faces of the people who are truly making a difference in the South Plains. Each person in this room is a hero. Everyone needs a hero. At one point or another in everyone's life, they face a circumstance or a situation that's a little bit bigger than they are. Maybe a disaster strikes, or a health challenge, or perhaps a series of unfortunate circumstances. Many times in life, the only reason that a person finds to soldier on is because they were rescued by a hero. When I was growing up, I had the ideal life as a child. I didn't have a need or a want that went unmet. And I had many people in my life that cared for me. All was well. But it all changed in the blink of an eye. I remember one evening my mother and my father got in a huge fight, and my dad threw everything that she owned in the backyard and set it on fire. My mom fled, and both of my parents were sucked into this downward spiral. And from that point forward in my life, I grew up around addiction, and I thought that it was just a part of life, just as natural as breathing. My dad spent every waking moment in the bar, and my mom became one of the largest crack dealers in the Metroplex. I was trapped in a dysfunctional hell, and I desperately wished more than anything that a hero would swoop in and save the day. I would often go days without seeing my parents, and I just had to do whatever it took to survive. Without food in the house, I would often make a trip to an alley behind some local businesses and go dumpster diving. There was a restaurant that sometimes I would come out with a bag of day-old donuts and sometimes Chinese food. But my life was just plain miserable at that time. Something had to change, so I dropped out of school and I got a job framing houses, and I had my first apartment by the age of 15. Something unexpected happened, though. I'd fallen into the same addictive patterns as the other members of my family. I was defeated. And when I was at my weakest, when I had no desire to live and I hated life, a hero stepped into my life. When everyone else was running away, that hero ran towards me. And that's the first point that I want to make today, and that's that a hero shows up when others usually run away. I was a toxic human being. I was dysfunctional in every way imaginable. I'd made my peace with the fact that I would be dead or in prison by the age of 30. There was someone in my life who intervened, though. There was someone who actually cared, someone who reached out to me when I was in the midst of one of life's greatest storms, someone that extended an olive branch and welcomed me. And many of you might not realize it. You would never call yourself by this title, but you are a hero. You are making a difference in the lives of many of the people in the South Plains region. There are a lot of faith-based organizations that are here today. And I want you to know that God uses each and every one of you. Even if you're a part of an organization that is not faith-based, there are times that you are the lifeline. You are the single connection that many of these families have to society. And you are my heroes. We all know that it's not easy to be a hero. And that brings me to the next point that I want to make today. A hero is strong when others are weak. The theme of this conference is that only a few are strong enough to be a hero every day of the year. You have to be strong to do this. I know a lot of people that are part of ministries and organizations that distribute food and deal with people that are having difficult circumstances. And they wake up every day wondering if they have enough strength to do it. You often meet people on the worst day of their life. And on top of that, sometimes you deal with people that have bad attitudes or a sense of entitlement. But then you have those moments when you realize that you are doing exactly what you should be doing. Some may feel a calling. Some may just love helping people. But every day you wake up and you put on your armor and you do battle against hunger and poverty in the South Plains. And ladies and gentlemen, you are my heroes. That brings me to the next nugget of truth that I want to share with you today, and that's that a hero is vigilant when others let their guard down. Now, this is the part of helping out and outreach that people don't like to talk about. Most of the people in this room are familiar with the concepts of toxic charity and when helping hurts. And if you're not, I'd recommend reading either one of those books. But we have a handful of people in our community that come up with some amazing creative tactics to exploit the system. They know the exact perfectly right thing to say. They know how to put pressure at the appropriate time to pressure agencies into helping them, even though it's outside of the spectrum of what they usually would do. And that is why it is so important for us to have set policies and procedures. For those of you who operate in the church world, let's break this down. You might have your policies and procedures, but there are going to be those times when someone shows up at your worship service and starts making a scene trying to get someone to help them because they know that that will cause an immediate response. We have a lot of people on staff here at our church at Trinity. So we had to send out a memo and ask our staff members to please defer people to our outreach team. We have a lot of people that have wonderful hearts, and if they see a need, they would bend over backwards to help people out. But we had to ask them to stop. Some of y'all might be thinking, well, that's kind of harsh. We had to ask them to stop because there were people that were just gaming them. We started using Charity Tracker, and we've used it at our outreach center, but whenever we have people that come up wanting assistance on Sunday mornings or whenever we're having a service, we still run their name through Charity Tracker before we help. And it blows me away how often people go from church to church to church with the same story. When you're vigilant, you realize that that person whose grandma died, that is just trying to find enough gas to make it to Dallas, has had their grandma die 7 times in the past 6 weeks and has been helped 5 of those 6 times. If someone is truly needing help, if they truly need assistance, they will operate inside the system. And this is one of the single greatest things that you can do to help us out, to help us be effective in ministering to the folks in our region. Take the time to check Charity Tracker. If you don't have a Charity Tracker account, get set up with one. Take time and put the notes in the system. Bottom line, that's the single most thing that we could do as a region to help us all be more effective in ministering to the people. It's also a good idea to have a security plan in place. Learn some basic self-defense. Actually, my sensei, Darren Walters, will be doing a workshop that will equip you with some basic skills here in a little bit. But don't stop there. Get a panic button or a security code to let your team know when something's happening. I know at our outreach center, if we have someone that's getting hostile or starting to get belligerent, they page a certain name and ask this person to come to the front. And everybody knows that if they hear that name paged, everybody comes to the front. That has helped us to eliminate a lot of the issues. If you're vigilant, it will help you better protect your staff and better steward your resources. You know what the difference is between a hero and a vigilante? It's a great segue to my next point. A hero works with others, and vigilantes do not. Any one of us will never be as effective as all of us. Every one of our organizations has a measure of effectiveness. But when we work together in one unified front, we make a greater impact. There are some times that we need to look past our opinions to community solutions. And it doesn't matter, man, if you would do things a little bit different if you were in charge. We are all on the same team. We all want to help people. And if we choose to focus on what unites us rather than what divides us, we will be unstoppable. My wife's papa, before he was placed in a nursing home, he was battling Alzheimer's. But one of the last lucid conversations that I had with him, we just sat down on the couch talking about life, society, and how things have changed. And he got a little bit nostalgic and his eyes kind of glazed over and he sunk back into the couch and he just began to tell me stories from his life. And he told a story that really stuck with me. He said, when I was growing up, my daddy was a hardworking man. And daddy, he would go out at the crack of dawn and he would work all day long until the sun went down. Then he would come home. He would do chores. He would help out. And he was a great dad. And he worked hard. And one year, daddy got sick. I'm not talking about like a cold or the flu. He got sick to where he could not get out of bed. And as we sat around contemplating what we would do, we heard a commotion outside. And when we opened the door, we couldn't believe what we were seeing. All of our neighbors, everyone in our community had all come together, and they were harvesting our crops. They came together because Daddy was too weak. And tears were welling up in his eyes as he was recounting this story. And I think to myself when I hear things like that, how much more effective could we be if we truly were united? I mean, not just if we said we're united and, you know, went to meetings once in a while, but if we truly were united. If we came together and decided that we were going to do something significant, we could change this region. Which brings me to the next thing that I want to talk to you about, and that's all those people, they came out. They worked as field. They got their hands dirty. A hero is willing to get messy when others just watch. Every day you get involved in the messiness of life. There are times when you can help people get unstuck, but only if you're willing to get down in the mud. And it's just plain messy. If you are not willing to care, then don't worry, you don't have to worry about getting hurt. If you're not willing to believe, then you do not have to worry about being disappointed. But if you're not willing to act, then you do not have to worry about making a difference in someone's life. A hero is willing to get messy rather than just simply watching. There is power in caring for someone when they don't have the strength to care for themselves. There is power in helping someone when they don't have the strength to help themselves. And ladies and gentlemen, there is power in believing in someone even when they don't have the strength to believe in themselves. But sometimes that means that you have to be willing to get messy. You have to be willing to take that first step. You have to be willing to get wet. There was a little girl that had been shopping with her mom in Walmart. She must have been around 6 years old, but she was just a beautiful, red-haired, freckle-faced image of innocence. And it was pouring outside. And I'm not talking about your typical West Texas sprinkle. I mean, this is the one where it's raining so hard that it gushes over the top of rain gutters in such a hurry to hit the earth that it doesn't even go down the spout. It just pours off the edge of the roof. But everybody just stood there inside under the awning, waiting. Some waited patiently. Others got irritated because nature had messed up their hurried day. Now, I'm personally always mesmerized by rainfall, and sometimes I get lost in the sound inside of the heavens washing away all the dust of the world. Memories come running back of splashing so carefree as a kiddo. That's kind of how people escape from the worries of their day. But this little girl's voice was so sweet, and it broke the hypnotic trance that everyone was caught in, and she said, "Mom, let's run through the rain." "What?" her mom said. "Let's run through the rain," she repeated. "No, honey, we'll wait till it slows down a little bit." The young child waited a couple minutes, and then she repeated, "Mom, let's run through the rain." "We will get soaked if we do," she said. "No, we won't, Mom. That's not what you said this morning." The mom had a puzzled look on her face and said, "This morning? When did I ever say that we could go run through a rainstorm and not get wet?" And what came out of the little girl's mouth astounded everyone. "Don't you remember when you were talking to Daddy about his cancer? You said if God can get us through this, he can get us through anything." The entire crowd was frozen. You couldn't hear a thing except for the rain. Everybody just stood there silently. Nobody left. The mom paused and thought for what seemed like an eternity about what she would say. Now, usually people might laugh that off, or some people might even scold their child for being silly, but some might even just act like she didn't say anything and ignore it. But this was a moment of affirmation in this young child's life, a time when innocent trust could be nurtured so that it would bloom into faith. "Honey, you are absolutely right. Let's run through the rain. And if God lets us get wet, well, maybe we just need a good washing." And off they ran. Everybody just stood there under the awning, watching and smiling and laughing as this couple darted past cars and, yes, jumped in puddles, and they got absolutely soaked. They were followed by a few who screamed and laughed like children all the way to their cars. Ladies and gentlemen, we all run. We all get wet. But there are some times that you just need a good washing. Now, I know that not every agency represented here is a religious organization, and I tried to keep this to a preaching minimum. But I'd like to take just a moment, and I would like to pray for you. I would like to pray for each and every one of your organizations. You are my heroes. You are making an amazing impact in the South Plains region. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just want to lift up each and every one of these people. God, who's invested their time, invested their resources, and decided that they were willing to get messy with people, decided that they were willing to make a difference in someone's life, even if it meant that they'd be slightly uncomfortable. I pray, Lord, that you will help each and every person in this room and every agency and organization that's represented. I pray that you will help them, God, to find the appropriate funding for what they need to do in our region, God. I pray that you'll help us to all come together, Lord, because where your word says, where the Lord sees unity, he will command a blessing, God. That's the cry of my heart, is that we would operate in unity. So, Lord, I pray that you'll seal this time in our hearts, God. I pray that you'll give us supernatural wisdom as we strategize for what we're going to do with our outreach programs next year. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for the South Plains Food Bank and this agency conference, God. I pray, Lord, that you will throw open so much of a blessing that they would not even be able to contain it, so that we can filter it to every last hungry man, woman, or child in Lubbock, Texas. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless y'all, guys. Thank y'all so much. It's been my honor and privilege to speak with you here at the South Plains Food Bank.